And the purpose of this prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. All right, let us pray. One of the most difficult attributes of you, Heavenly Father, the one that we adhere to, but as abused, misunderstood, is your love. We pray, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes. We might understand your love in truth, what it is and what it isn't. Father, pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, last week we noted four basic principles about love. One, we know love in God, for God is love. And that's very important. We know love in God, for God is love. Two, love is from God. The love that counts in life is a love that comes from God the Holy Spirit. Three, we noted the principle, what God's love looks like. God cares about what love looks like. And four, God loved first. Now, a lot of people have a misunderstanding about the love of God and about spiritual love. God loves every person for all eternity who will spend eternity in a lake of fire. They're not away from His love. They're not benefited by His love. That's the crucial issue. And when people say, yeah, but we ought to love these people. We ought to love those people. Well, that's true. But are they benefited? Depends on them, not on us. You don't just love regardless of how they live. That's not love. So we've got to understand about love. Now this morning, I want to begin by going over two principles about love as a spiritual force. First of all, the direction of God's love. We know love for God is love. We know love in God, for God is love. The direction of God's love. The world. His creation. Who became His enemies. Those who came to Him by faith in His Son. Those who walk with Him by faith in the Holy Spirit. But He loves the world. And then the magnitude of that love is that He sent His Son. I know you know the passages, but let's look at three passages. And please bear with me. Let's examine John 3:16 one more time. Well, we'll do it again and again, but let's do it this morning. John 3:16, the effect or impact of God's love. God's love, John 3:16. He loved in this manner. Not that He just saved the world. It does not say that. God doesn't love everybody to the point that everybody's going to be saved. That's not the way God loves. That's not the way we should love. God loves with an objective, that He can have a relationship, a fellowship, but it's based on His righteousness. So in this manner, God loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We all should perish. That's a fact. We're all sinners. None of us are righteous. We should all perish. But out of His love, He provided a way where we do not have to perish. We learn about love. God's love does not overrule His righteousness. Well, I'm just going to save everyone. There are people who believe that and even teach that, that everyone's going to be saved. Everyone's going to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. There is an eternal lake of fire. And it is eternal. It is abandonment from God. But God has provided a way out of His love where man doesn't have to do that. He provided a way where you can escape your destiny of a lake of fire. And that is by giving us His Son, so that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's His goal. God is not willing that any should perish. But it's up to individuals. There's no hyper-Calvinism here. Each individual has within themselves the ability, I believe in Jesus Christ, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I reject His love, or I accept His love. So, the first thing we learn is that His love has an effect on His enemies. Secondly, let's look at 1 John 4:10. 1 John 4:10 sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. A propitiation for our sins. He took care of them. Everybody's sins. So, all unbelievers, no unbeliever will be in the eternal lake of fire because of sins, personal sins. They'll be there for one sin, the rejection of Jesus Christ. And of that the Holy Spirit convicts. It's very interesting. The Holy Spirit doesn't really convict of things that you and I are detested by. Things that are abominable to God. He convicts of one sin. Rejection of Jesus Christ. It's in the singular, not plural. And that's what he convicts of. Because that will establish, if a person is understanding of that in his soul, a response to that by faith, the only way we can respond, he spends eternity with God. And then finally, 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:1. See how great a love. Now that is a wonderful phrase. How great a love. Not just a love. How great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason the world does not know us. Okay, that lets you know, this doesn't include the whole human race. People, there are going to be some wonderful, human-speaking people in the eternal lake of fire. And there's going to be some real rascals in heaven with God. It doesn't have to do with their life. It has to do with an attitude about Jesus Christ. So a great love. So we learn about love from God, for God is love. And the manifestation of His love is great. The Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. People, if things in your life are so in turmoil, things are not going any way the way you wanted it. Your marriage, health, finance, whatever. And you reach a point, I have nothing to pray about, nothing to be thankful about. Yes, you do. You can thank God that you're a child of God. And therein is your peace. Therein is your hope. Therein is your confidence. Therein is your rest. Your inner peace. We call the children of God. And we are. You are a child of God by faith in Christ. Galatians chapter 3. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. I think what has happened throughout the world is coming to America. Christians are going to be the enemy. We are fast becoming that. The Liberty Act that was just passed, all these things are directly opposed to Christianity. And if you are a Christian, that means you are bigoted against the non-Christian. If I say, if you don't believe in Christ, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, I will be charged with a hate crime. And I think that day is coming in America, where I will be called a hate crime. They will not see the love that God has sent His Son to provide everybody eternal life. All they'll hear is, if you don't believe, you spend eternity in a lake of fire. Hate. No, it's not hate. There's a way out. And that's the love of God. Sacrificing His Son on the cross. But it's going to be the day, it's going to come a time when you have a standard. A man should marry a woman should not marry a man. You are bigoted. No matter what you do, it's coming in this country. It is amazing the fast speed at which this nation is declining morally. And more, not only morally, but it's just in the way we think. That we think that Christianity is hate. We think that having standards, of moral standards, is hate. And that's where we're headed in this country. And our children are being taught this in school. That's what the tragedy is. Education. It amazes me. You got to remember, I'm 77 years old. I lived through the days when the government went after communists in America. I think they overdid it. But nevertheless, that was an attitude. Today, we vote them into Congress. Today, we support them running for president. That's how far we've gone. Our standards are just dwindling away. Standards of righteousness. Standards of morality. Right and wrong. Adultery. Fornication. Promiscuity. All these things. They're just being dropped by the wayside. And children are taught, those things are not right. If you are anti-being promiscuous, you're wrong. If you're anti-adultery, you're wrong. You're a hate. And that's where we're headed. It's going to be very difficult. In a few decades now, for a young person to hold these truths. So 1 John 3:1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it does not know Him. Not only do they not know us, John teaches in the Gospel of John, they hate us. And we're seeing that more and more in America today. We know it's truth throughout the world. We know it's true in the Middle East. We know it's true in Sudan. We know it's true. They hate Christians. But I never thought I'd see it where it was in America. But in America, Christians are going to be hated and are hated. You can't live your Christian life in America. And we are in real trouble. So, not only do they not know us, see, as the passage says, because they do not know Him, they hate us because they first hated Him. They hate Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Bigot. That's hate. You're not opening it up to everybody. And no, He's not. Because there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. They don't know Him, and they hate Him. If you follow Him, they don't know you, and they hate you. Okay, the next passage, let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans 5, 8. But God demonstrated His own love. Okay, what do we start off with? We know love in God, for God is love. Love is from God. What does God's love look like? Romans 5, 8. But God demonstrated His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ went to the cross for all mankind. But it's for salvation to those who believe. But he loves to the point where he didn't say, "Y'all all deserve a lake of fire. To hell with all of you." No, he didn't do that. He said, "I want a relationship with you. You're my creation. Now, how can I do this?" Well, what I'm going to have to do is make you righteous. How can I do that? What I have to do is I have to send my son. You know, first of all, I have to take care of the negative of the gospel, bear all the sins of the world, so take care of the sins. And then to those who believe, I will impute my perfect righteousness and declare you justified. Okay, that brings us to the next major point. God loves in order to love the more. God loves in order to love the more. Think about this, people. In order to love us for all eternity. God desires to love us for all eternity. And again, I have to repeat, he loves all the people in the lake of fire, but they're not benefited by his love. Just because love is there does not mean there's going to be benefit of the love. There are many a women who have not been benefited by the love of their husband. There have been many a men who have not benefited by the love of their wife. Just because you're loved doesn't mean you're going to be benefited by it. And don't think your love controls everybody. But I love you. You ought to do what I want. That's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. God loves. God wants to love for all eternity. So therefore, God provided the way that he can do this. Each step of manifestation of God's love is so that he can pour out his love all the more. He loves to the point that he gave his son that we can be saved and be his son. Then he loved to the point he gave us the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, he pours even more love. So you can have two believers. One greatly benefited by the love of God and one not benefited much at all. What's the difference? One walks in the Spirit, one doesn't. Why doesn't he walk in the Spirit? A lot of reasons. One, he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to live a life of faith. Two, he's never been taught. Didn't get under a right type of pastor. A lot of reasons. Number three, he just prefers a sinful life. Whereas another believer, wait a minute. You mean all I have to do is walk by faith in the Spirit and I get more love and more love and more love? Absolutely. And then you carry that into eternity. Most people love for their own benefit, but not God. He loves in order to love us more. Most people love for their own benefit. I love you, therefore do what I want. I love you, therefore give me what I want. Not God. I love you, therefore let me give you more. I love you, therefore be in a position where I can love you more. Many people love in order to control, but not God. He loves that he might bestow more upon those he loves. Think about this. God created angels, and God created man in order to love, to demonstrate his love. Then he sent his son so that he could love all the more. Then he sent his spirit so that he could still love all the more. See, God loves an unbeliever and a believer. The believer benefited by his love. Then you take two believers. Both are loved of God. One benefits from that love, the other doesn't. One walks and lives in the Spirit, the other doesn't. God loves them both, but they're both not benefited. Got to be benefited by this love. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Now what I want to do here, I want to look at the end of verse 4 and then jump to verse 7. So let's look at the end of verse 4. Now, if I were writing a paper in seminary, this would be very difficult to explain how we're leaving out the first half of 4 and 5 and 6 and all that. But in a class like this, I think you can roll with me. So look at verse 4. Because of His great love, greatest magnitude, and we've already seen the magnitude of His love, that He gave His only Son, that He sent His Spirit. So, verse 4, because of His great love, with which He loved us, sending us His Son, sending us His Spirit. Verse 7, in order that, because of His great love, with which He loved us, in order that, in the ages to come, eternity future, He might show or demonstrate the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. As often the discussion comes around, what's heaven going to be like? Is there going to be sex in heaven? Is there going to be Bluebell ice cream in heaven? See? Is there going to be this in heaven? What's heaven going to be like? How well are we going to recognize each other? Let me just tell you this. Let me tell you what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be like the riches of His love. It's going to be so phenomenal, you can't even imagine it. This verse gives us a glimpse. In order that, in ages to come, He might show, demonstrate, the surpassing riches, surpassing, more and more riches, of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. It's all going to be in Christ, people. That's the difference between two unbelievers who are loved. One responds to that love by believing in Jesus Christ. One rejects that love by rejecting Jesus Christ. They're both loved, but only one is benefited. You've got to understand this. It's very important. Young people ask the question, but aren't we supposed to love the homosexual? Aren't we supposed to love the adulterer? Aren't we supposed to love the fornicator? Aren't we supposed to love the thief? Aren't we supposed to love the murderer? Yes! Yes! But don't confuse love with their being benefited by it. Don't confuse that. Don't confuse what love does and what love doesn't do. God just didn't say, well, I love everybody, therefore everybody's saved. He's a righteous God. He's righteous. Don't ever forget that. He's perfect righteous. And He cannot have fellowship with unrighteousness. That's why He sent His Son, and then that's why He sent His Spirit for us as believers. Because when we sin, we're unrighteous. We're out of righteousness when we sin. We can't have fellowship with Him. So He said, okay, I want to have fellowship with you. I'll send you my Spirit. You go by faith in my Spirit, you're back in righteousness. Galatians chapter 5, He makes us right, gives us a righteous life, and we're in fellowship with Him. So please understand, love has standards. Love is not divorced of standards. Just because you love doesn't mean you condone, accept, and fellowship with that which is unrighteous. That helps you understand the passages in Thessalonians that are so difficult for some people to understand. Do not fellowship with them. How can that be? Are we Christians? Are we supposed to have fellowship with everyone? No. No, we're not. Simple. So, you have the love of God, you have the righteousness of God. And with us, we have love and we have righteousness of the Holy Spirit. So look at verse 7. In order that, in the ages to come, He might show or demonstrate the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. You desire to learn more about love? You're going to learn about it for all eternity. That is why Paul says in Ephesians, it is beyond understanding. It's beyond understanding to understand love. You can't define it. You can describe it, but you can't define it. and we're going to spend all eternity learning about it. The scriptures reveal the seeing of God and His love. We first learn about love, its power, its impact, its description, about the force of love from God. Out of His love, He sent His Son. Out of His love, He sent His Spirit, that we might abide in His love as believers. One of the first principles of grace is that God was merciful and kind, out of His love, revealed Himself to us. People, He didn't have to reveal Himself to us. He revealed Himself to us in His Word. Therefore, we know Him. We know Him. Now, Wednesday night, we're going to start a journey, not chapter by chapter, but through the book of Ezekiel. And I'm going to start off by showing you how the first 1,000 years in history went. A lot of people don't understand Adam and Methuselah. They're very closely related. Now, everyone but Methuselah overlapped with Adam. Purpose, that the Word of God could be transmitted without error, from one generation to the next generation. Same. So we have the Word of God. We have the Scriptures. And in the Scriptures, He reveals Himself. In the first 11 chapters of Genesis, God does a lot of revealing about Himself. The foundation of the Gospel is in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. The foundation of the whole Bible is in those chapters, if you understand them correctly. See? God revealed Himself in truth. Now, you take, for example, the Quran. It doesn't reveal Allah. It says you can lie to anyone in life if it serves Allah. That's what kind of God He is. That's what He wants you to do. He wants you to lie if it serves His purpose. See? He does not have a personal, intimate relationship with His followers. Our God does. Your God does. And He desires that personal relationship. I wouldn't give a hoot for a husband and wife who didn't desire intimate relationship with each other. Fellowship with each other. Same thing with our relationship with God. He desires an intimate relationship with us. And that's what He did. He reveals Himself. So one of the first principles of grace that we learn is that God demonstrates Himself in the Scriptures, illuminated for us by the Holy Spirit. Why? That we might believe in His Son and then have fellowship with Him. Question. Here's the question. What if God's love did not have an effect in our relationship with Him? Powerful question. What if God's love did not have an effect in our relationship with Him? Now, I've known people throughout life, short as my life is, where the husband would say, I love you, and that was it. There was no benefit about his love in a fellowship way with that woman. He wanted a servant, not a fellowship. It's of no value. What value is God's love if we have no effect, if it has no effect in our relationship with Him? What good would such a love be? It's not love. It's not love. Inactive love, impersonal love, stagnant love, but no love at all. And even if it were love, it would be of no value to those who need the impact of love, which we all do. We all need the impact of love. One of the great problems with a lot of people that are in prisons is they're being brought up in a home, in a background, no love. No love from their father or mother. No love. Abuse, but no love. When you have that love, you have something to hold on to in life. And the same thing is true our relationship with God. But a love that doesn't form and establish a relationship. People, I hope you have an intimate relationship with God in your prayer life. You know who you're praying to. You have that intimacy with Him. I've been praying for some 70-something years. Jesus has always been my friend. There's an intimacy there. I know Him. I've sinned against Him, but I know Him. And when I pray, I know to whom I'm praying. I have a fairly good idea of what I can't pray. I have a fairly good idea of what I should pray. What I can pray. See? So, a love that would provide this is of no value. It's nothing. But it is not love that has that force that causes a relationship. See? Someone rejects Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a story. From God. I love you. But you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. What good is that love now? And that would be a bona fide question for him. What good is that love? You rejected it when you had the opportunity to do something about it. That's why his love is so important, people. His love is of no value to them in a lake of fire. He loves them. Loves them very much. But it's of no benefit. And we as believers, as people on earth, He loves us. You have to decide if you want to be benefited by His love. You can be benefited by His love on His terms. See, a lot of people want it on their terms. A woman wants a man as her husband, but on her terms. A man wants a relationship with a wife on his terms. I'm the man. I'm asking you to marry me on my terms. If you don't want him, say no. If you want him, say yes. But the point is that you want to be benefited by love. So, for all eternity, God says to them, I'm sorry. I love you. But you're going to spend eternity there. I gave you the opportunity. It says it's to angels and all fallen mankind who will spend eternity in a lake of fire. See? Sorry, you're going to go to hell. My love provided a way that it was not necessary. It is not necessary to go that way. This is His love. He provides a love that allows you not to have to spend eternity in a lake of fire. But if you reject His love, that's what you're going to do. You're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. This isn't a matter of hate. If there's hate anywhere, it's hate from the person. I hate Jesus Christ. I hate your solution. I hate that your Son is the only way of salvation. And I'll tell you what, it's getting to where a lot of people today don't like that. That Jesus Christ is the only way. Joel Osteen said on national television, there are many ways to God. No, there's not. But why does he have so many people following him? Because that sounds good. I can get to him on my way. I can get to him on my terms. I can get to him in the way I want to worship, the way I want to think. No, it doesn't work that way, people. You're going to come to God, it's going to be on His terms. And His terms are through Jesus Christ, my Son, whom I've given to the world. That's the only way. So, we want to be benefited by His love. Okay, let's move on. One, no love is in God, for God is love. Two, love is from God. Three, what God's love looks like. Four, God loved us first. Five, God's love is a spiritual force. Six, God loves in order to love all the more. That's point six, what we just studied. God loves in order to love more. Isn't that the way life is? If you truly love somebody, truly love your wife, your husband, you want to love more. Want to do more. Constantly. Service, whatever, giving. You love so that you can love more. That's love. That's God. Now, 7. God's love. God's love. This is a God we can trust. This is a love we can trust. Point 7 is this. If you find one, let me know. This is the only attribute of God that I found in the Bible that is also the object of faith. Let's look, first of all, at Psalm 13. Psalm 13, verse 5. Psalm 13, 5. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. He trusts. Faith. Trust in his loving kindness. But people, you got to understand it. See, right related with it, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. So, an unbeliever cannot say, I trusted in his love, but his love didn't keep me from going to the lake of fire. Yes, it did. You rejected it. So this, the psalmist says here, I trust your love, I know your love, and my heart to rejoice in the salvation that your love has provided. Let's look at Psalm 52. Psalm 52, 8. But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. Trust in His love. People, we can trust God's love. His love is a love you can trust. Now, let me jump to another powerful passage. Cursed is man who trusteth in man. Many people are discouraged and disillusioned about love because they marry somebody, they love them, they marry them, and then it doesn't work out with the white fence and the roses that they thought it would. It isn't working out. So they become very discouraged about love, very disoriented about love. That happens in human love. Don't trust humans' love. But we can trust God's love. But as for me, the psalmist, I've learned in my life that I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. I trust His love. God is eternal. His love is eternal. But that means the basis of His love will also be eternal. His eternal love will be in your position in Christ for all eternity. That's why you don't get in and out of being in Christ. Once you're saved, you're in Christ, baptized into Christ forever. And therefore, you can trust His love. Let's look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a powerful psalm, but we don't have time to examine it. But Psalm 51, verse 1. Psalm 51, verse 1. For the choir director, a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Well, I think everybody here is old enough to know what that means. See, there's some hanky-panky going on, and David is not married to Bathsheba. Bathsheba's married to somebody else. And so David fell in love with her, and his whole grounds for falling in love, he was not where he belonged. He belonged out in the battlefield, but he didn't go to the battlefield. He stayed at home and was walking around, and he saw Bathsheba bathing in the afternoon or the later morning when women did while the men were gone. And he saw her, fell in love with her, wanted her, got her, seduced her, and then had her husband killed in battle, and then took her. So there he is. Now David, man after God's own heart, womanizer, murderer. Man after God's own heart. Now, he thinks, he doesn't think he did anything wrong. He's just living along, getting along fine. Nathan came to him. Nathan the prophet. God sent Nathan. Nathan's a wise man in the power of the Spirit. But he didn't just walk up and start pointing his finger at David. You scoundrel, you no good, dirty rat. The king would have had him executed. He said, King, let me ask you a question. Man has a goat, just one to his family, and another man steals that goat from him. And now he doesn't have any way of making money, food. What should happen? Boy, David hit the ceiling. That man ought to be drawn and quartered. Take it. And Nathan looked and says, that's you, Almighty King. And David woke up. So here we have Psalm 51. For the choir director, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. So all the Bathsheba affair is over, or going on. And Nathan came to him. So let's see what we have in verse 1. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Now, it doesn't say he trusts like the Psalm 13 and 52, but that's what he appeals to. He appeals to the loving kindness of God. What's fun here, we don't have time, I can take you back to an earlier Psalm of David, when in his arrogance, he said, deal with me according to my righteousness. No, you don't ever want to pray that prayer. That's not a good, wise prayer. And here he doesn't pray it either. I mean, I'm caught. I'm in trouble. So what does he say? According to your love. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Now, so that you won't think it's all Old Testament, look at 1 John 4. 1 John 4:16. And like I tell you Bible scholars, if you find another passage where there's another essence of God other than God that we're to trust, just an essence, let me know. 1 John 4, verse 16. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Alright? So, and we have come to know, first of all, you know, and believed the love which God has. They believed in his love. So, as you grow in your spiritual life, it's not just God. Start understanding God. God, I love your love. I trust your love. I need it today. I'm in trouble. There are difficult times, whatever it is. So I'm trusting in your love. That shows an intimacy. That shows that you know him. That shows a relationship with him. I know you so well. I'm not just crying out, God help. I know you. I know your love. I'm crying out, I trust your love in the situation of my life. So, there's a trust of knowing God's love and then believing God's love. Love is not known nor knowable in Satan. Satan does not know love. Satan does not understand love. And therefore, Satan hates the love of God. Satan can't understand it. He jumps topside. Every time a believer sins, he goes topside. See what that believer did? You can't use him anymore. They're sinners. You're righteous. Remember, always remember, the biggest proponent of law is Satan. Satan loves the law because the law condemns. So he says to God, you're righteous, your law, they've sinned, you can't use them anymore, They're in my kingdom of darkness. Even if they're believers, they're in my kingdom of darkness now. And Jesus Christ said, point of order, I've already paid for those sins. They're mine. They believe in me. And so, it's over. Satan hates that. That just irritates him. Every time Jesus Christ said, paid in full, Satan hates it. He cannot stand love. He doesn't understand love. He understands righteousness. He understands justice. You did wrong. Boom, you're condemned. Don't talk to me about love. Don't talk to me about compassion. You're guilty. You're out. God says, no, I'm love. Your sin, you're out. I don't want you out. I'll provide a way for you to get in. So Satan hates the love of God. So love is not known in fallen man. Man does not know love. Love is known in God. You have to come to God to learn about love. And out of His love, you learn He sent His Son and His Spirit. So, A, love is known in a person. B, love is known in the person of God. And C, love is normal in the person of Jesus Christ. It's normal in the person of Jesus Christ. We have seen God is love, that He loves. We have seen how He loves. He loves in such a way that His love can satisfy His righteousness and provide a way to give eternal life to an unbeliever, a sinner, an enemy. That's the way He loves. Now we come to the demonstration of God's love, sending of His beloved Son. Love of Jesus Christ is recorded for us in Scripture. And since the love is knowable in the person of Jesus Christ, we can see what this love looks like the more we examine Jesus Christ. So this is the love we are commanded to love. See, I'm slowly building up to it. This is the love that we're commanded to love. It's knowable in the person of Christ. If you know the love of Christ, that's the love that you and I are supposed to love and will love out of the filling of the Spirit. When He gave the commandment, love one another as I love. So we have to know how He loved. You have to know Jesus Christ. Not man. Jesus Christ. You got to know how He loved. So this is the love we are commanded. Love is known in a person, the person of Christ. So we can know love by knowing Jesus Christ. And we can fulfill the commandment to love one another. See? Now, so let's take up some sub-points. Sub-point one. Love is known in a person. So that all men may know God. Love is known in a person so that all men may know Jesus Christ. So that all may know and see and experience the love of God. We can all experience it, be impacted by it, be affected by it. Not everybody is. You can take the worst sinner in the world. My wife gets mad when I use Hitler as examples, but take Hitler, as horrible as he was. If you've done any real study in World War II, I mean, the man is evil personified. And I mean evil in the gospel, evil to God's chosen people, evil to the Messiah. He's evil. God loved him. God loved him. And still does, but while he was alive, God loved him. And so far as we know, he rejected God's love. So, he was loved by him, but he wasn't affected by it. You have to be affected by love. I think we all know the story of children. The son wasn't affected by his mother's love. Took off, lived a hellacious life, rebellious life, ended up in prison. And you look back, his mother loved him. He rejected it. He chose to run with the wrong crowd. He chose to have his own way. rejected his mother's love. And that's got to hurt a mother. That has got to hurt a mother who truly loves and her son or daughter rejects it. Isn't affected by it. Oh, they want to be affected by the money. They want to be affected by your wealth. But not your standards, not your love. So, not everyone is affected by God's love. He loves everyone, but not everyone is affected. Now, point two. Knowing the love of Christ. Knowing the love of Christ. Now, let's build this. So, point one. Love is known in and by God the Father. Two, love is known in and by God the Holy Spirit. Three, love is known in and by God the Son. Four, their love is recorded for us in Scripture, in the Bible. Five, it's this book right here. The book that is banned in schools, no longer accepted in our Congress. People, let me tell you something about the opening Congress of our country. The first day the Congress met, they spent 2 hours studying this book. 2 hours of their first meeting they spent in the Bible. And they did it often. And then slowly, Satan got it out. And so Satan moved the Bible from the judicial system. Move the Bible from the judicial system, you now have no norms and standards. Anything goes. Move the Bible from the educational system. Move the Bible out of schools, you can teach evolution. You don't even have to mention creation. In fact, now, in some places, if you mention it, you're out of line. So, just get rid of this book. And I'm sorry to say that in a lot of churches, this book is removed. Or at least, not opened up and studied. Dust on the Bible. Oh, good old gospel. Dust on the Bible. We don't use this book. People, you got to stay in this book daily. Got to be in this book. I love the Old Testament. Teach your children in the morning, at noon, at night, going in, going out. Walking, whatever you're doing in life, you talk to them about the truth of Scripture. And that's at the very beginning. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Go down to Moses. That's not all that we have. Parents don't do it. Once in a while, maybe a parent will teach something, and then one ear out the other. It's how you live. That's where the children learn. You can tell them, don't do this. And you do it. You tell them, go to church, and you don't go to church. You tell them to respect the pastor, and you run him down on the way home. You have fried pastor for dinner on the way home. See? So, and you expect them to respect him? No, they're not going to. Not going to. They hear that much louder than they do the other. So, love is known in and by God the Father. Love is known in and by God the Son. Love is known in and by God the Holy Spirit. Four, their love is recorded in the Bible. Five, but if it were not for the Father's love, in sending the Holy Spirit, we still would be unable to see. We would not be able to understand Scripture. The flesh cannot understand Scripture. People in seminary, we studied a couple of people who wrote books that would cover a bookshelf right here. No gospel in there. No gospel! And yet we had to study them! I asked one professor one time, and what did I get? A smirkish grin. Like, you're right, but we're still going to do it because that's education. It's education to study these smart people who never see the gospel. I'd rather study some good old black preacher back in the backwoods of Georgia who understood the truth of the gospel, understood the love of God, understood the truth. No, I had to spend all my time on this high-thinking person. Never saw the truth. Walk circles around me in Greek and Hebrew. Never see the truth. Never see it. We need the Holy Spirit. God sent us the Holy Spirit, but you got to know how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's by grace through faith. So love can be known and seen in the Scriptures only by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, we can do this. And then 5, the more we know of Christ's love, the more we know of Christ's love, of how He loved, does not mean that we will be able to love as He loved. Just knowing it isn't enough. I'm sorry. I even know a couple of preachers. Knowledge of doctrine. That's it. Boy, and the more doctrine you know, the more God loves you. The more doctrine you know, the higher up the rank you go. That's what it's about. Take in doctrine every day. Take it in every day. But they know nothing about the filling of the Spirit by grace through faith. They know very little about the love of God. They're very high on things called like impersonal love, which is no love at all. It's loving by law. Impersonal love is loving by law. And that's the way a lot of people love. By law. See? Well, I love you, I don't hit you. That means I love you. No, you don't hit me because the law won't let you hit me. You hit me and you're going to go to jail. So it's love by law. They don't know it. So there are a lot of people who know the Word of God. In fact, Paul says, love edifies. Knowledge makes arrogant. I know more than you do. And people don't like that. They want to show you how much they know. See? Why is it in Scripture if we cannot do it? And that's where we spend all that time on those imperatives. Why is it in the imperative if we can't do it? So, I'm going to learn, get it all down, have my list, and then I can do it. No, you can't do it. You cannot do it outside of the filling of the Spirit. We've got to understand the Spirit. A lot of Christians don't like to study and talk about the Spirit. Then you have the charismatic weirdos over here. That's all they want to talk about inaccurately. We need to have an accurate understanding of the third member of the Godhead in our lives every day, all day. Okay, we'll resume here next Sunday morning. And next Sunday morning we're going to have a challenge in the second class. But we'll just save that for next Sunday. Let's close in a word of prayer. We stand amazed at your love, Heavenly Father. Amazed that you can love us. We know what sinners we are, what rascals we are. We just stand amazed. And that you give us so much. And Father, we thank you that you've given us your word. Because it's in the study of your word that we learn about your love. It's in the study of your word that we learn how to love as you loved. How to love as your Son loved. Father, I pray your Spirit can take the things we've seen this morning. Apply these things, use these things. To bring honor and glory to our Savior. In His precious name we pray. Amen.